Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad, and I'll be damned, it's Carlo Barone right over there across from me here. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, no problem. Let's go over to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Get it delivered right to your door. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with a quick trip to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef. There we go.
That was very, very virile. Very nice. It's what's for dinner. Did I have beef last night? I did not. So I won't talk about that. But it's just me this week. It's me and the kids. So I'll definitely be cooking some beef at some point, and probably this weekend as well. I mean, you know, mom's on a trip doing God knows what. We'll have some steaks. We'll enjoy ourselves here in Starkville, and you can do that too. Just fire up the grill, throw a steak on there. Doesn't take long. It's delicious. I can't make it any easier for you than that. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State, right there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. You can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, my friends at College Corner have got it. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, then you need to talk to the bankers at Priority One Bank. Bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number. Bankers that are going to treat you with respect and give you a level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location, let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Welcome back.
It's been a while.
It has been. We were trying to figure out the exact date of our last live show together. We think it was like July 7th or 8th or something like that.
Yeah, it's been a hard few weeks, but it's good to be
back.
How
are you? Let's give everybody an update. How are you?
Yeah, I wasn't feeling too hot on Friday, but besides that, I'm good. So far, the process hasn't been terribly difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a setback last week, so I had to. I've had a few surgeries now, guys, and I had a fourth one on Tuesday, so that wasn't very fun, but
so
far can't really complain. I haven't had a lot of side effects of anything, so we're getting through it. It's day by day, and I'm on a lot more medicine than I was before, but you should see my bathroom. It's crazy.
You're probably like an old man in there. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Have you got a pill thing? Have you got one of those like Tuesday, Wednesday
but
things?
I'm getting close to getting one.
I have held out on that for so long. I don't have one. I take like 8 pills a day.
I'm at 7 right now.
Okay.
You might. It's funny. You asked me this question, or somebody asked.
It was a rumbling question.
And I was put up a donut. I'm at 5 right now, but I have 7 prescribed. So the 2 are basically if I need them.
Right.
But it's crazy.
So yeah, you're getting to that point where you're gonna have the Monday, Tuesday, the little strip there.
I have to take Miralax.
Oh,
you know, guys know what that means.
Justin Strawn will tell you all about it next time we talk.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be in my mentions tomorrow morning. But yeah, I'm feeling all right, doing okay.
Good.
Taking it day by day.
Very good. All right, let's get back into the world of sports. We will talk a little bit, much as it pains me, about the NCAA, the new rules, and what does it mean for Mississippi State. I mean, what it means for Mississippi State is what it means for everybody. Let's do that later. This is the start of camp this week. Mississippi State will start camp on Thursday, the 6th. I believe there will be some viewing periods open to the media. Today, as you're listening, Monday is our media day with the assistant coaches. It's our one and only opportunity to speak with all of the assistant coaches. On that end, Carl and I were talking before we started up. We'll do another pod tomorrow because I want to go over what, especially what Arnett has to say, amongst others. But we're here. You know, we've made it. You know, we're a month away from the start of the college football season. You know, less than 30 days if you want to go with week zero. And we're here now. So let's talk about camp a little bit, and let's just make it as wide-reaching as we can. It's not so much about what do we want to know or what do we want to learn from camp. What are we asking going into camp is more the question. So what's a question Carlo Barone has about Mississippi State football as we go into the start of this camp?
Well, there's a lot of questions around, I feel like, this team. But the first one is you want to see the development on the offensive line. Like, we've talked about that all summer long, how that is – it could be one of the big X factors of the season. But also how Arnett's defense, you know, looks. You know, we were at camp in, you know, the spring or whatever, and you can only do so much then. But we were at camp last year, too. Just kind of, I want to see the vibe around the defense because they had a really rough year 2024. They were a little bit more confident, but now this year, it seems like they're pretty confident that this defense has really turned it around. So, specifically, I'm going to be looking at, you know, just kind of the vibe around not even just the defense, maybe the whole team. Because we talked about after media days, the swagger that they were kind of bringing was maybe a little bit different. I wasn't there. You got the better feel for it, but. You know, maybe just the vibe around the team and specifically the offensive line is probably the position group I'm going to look at the most. Running backs is in a completely different, you know, maybe stage of kind of where they're at, where they have almost too many guys that are really good. So I'd like to see who's getting the second team reps behind Bothwell. It's obviously probably going to be Guyton, but at the end of the day, how much are those freshman running backs getting in the action? And, you know, what does that look like? Because some of these guys are going to be too talented to keep off the field. So specifically offensive line and running backs are two positions I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, you said running backs, and that was where I was going to go next because, and again, we know Fluff Bothwell locked in at that number one, barring any kind of unusual events. What we don't know is who's going to be his backup. When we go back to the spring, Lebby talked about Colin Wilson, and I do think he can be an interesting complementary piece to Bothwell. I think they're different kind of backs, so they give you different looks when they're on the field. But I think State has two incredibly talented freshmen in J.J. Hill and Cooper Crosby. And I think those – or Cooper Cosby, I'm sorry. And those guys could be – is it Crosby or Crosby?
Crosby.
It's Crosby, okay. I had it right the first time. I think those guys – one of those guys is going to end up being RB2, I think. I think they are better players than Colin Wilson, and I think they will jump him in the depth chart if indeed Colin Wilson is RB2 as we're sitting here. Well, the thing with Lebby's offense is – they're always doing it by committee on the running back. You know, you got to remember Judkins at Ole Miss, Lebby wasn't the coach there then. The years that Lebby was the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss was the years they were running, you know, Jerrion Ealy and Snoop Connor. Corral had a big chunk of the running game, which obviously Kamario Taylor will as well. Then, you know, the next year was Henry Parrish. He likes to run things by committee. He's not going to, I don't think he wants to have a back who's getting 25 plus carries a game. He'd rather have two backs getting 12 plus carries a game, which is smart. If you got if the talent drop off isn't huge, yeah, by all means, that's what you should do. That's definitely one. I'll stay on the offensive side and give you another one. Is who are the only, we talked about it, who's on the outside of Anthony Evans? Who are the other two receivers? I feel like the four names to know are on one side, Aiden Williams and San Francisco McGee. On the other side, Marquise Johnson and Zion Ragans. Now, when I talked to Kamario at Media Days, you know, he mentioned some guys like Grayson Harris, who is backing up Anthony Evans. Maybe a guy like Camden Capehart, the true freshman coming in, who is just an absolute blazer.
Oh, he's the track guy.
He's the track guy. But I don't know if he's in that outside, because he's not here yet. He didn't do spring. So is he going to be in the outside? Are they going to try to do what they did with Brennan Thompson? And even though he's a smaller receiver, just put him out there on the island so he can run back.
Run
exactly
as fast as you can.
Or do you want to let him try to work the middle of the field a little bit out of that slot position? I don't know. I think, you know, speed is not going to be an issue for Mississippi State. They have plenty of that. They have guys who can get open deep. It's going to be more about, you know, moving the chains, third and six, third and five. How are they able to do that? So who those other two wide receivers are. Or for me, what's another question you have coming into this?
You know, the secondary is one of the most, I feel like, complete maybe areas of the team. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got you know, your quarterback, cornerback one, shutdown corner. And then you've got Isaac Smith, who's now playing his third season, all ACC, I believe, in his first two.
Yeah.
Or whatever, led the SEC in tackles as a freshman. You know, they brought in guys. We talked about this a lot as well during the summer. They are now bringing in more Power Four guys. They've got transfers in the secondary. You know, I'd be interested to see how they look, because you've got Camario, who's been a lot has been made about his arm after the Manning Academy and everything. But they're also going to be going against, you know, what I'd like to think is probably a pretty good secondary going into this season. You know, you've got veterans, you've got Power Four transfers, guys. There's one of the players on his third SEC team, A&M, LSU now.
Jordan Gilbert,
yeah, he's on his third SEC team now. So, you know, I think the secondary is going to be a big part of this team, because you've got the veterans back there, and you've got older guys that haven't played in a Mississippi State uniform yet, but are veterans, you know, have played in different schemes. I think there's a lot to like in the secondary for this season.
I agree. And then that second cornerback position to me is the one that I have the most interest in, especially once we learned that, Quentin Taylor, the transfer from Iowa State, is now moved to safety. So he's not in the mix there anymore. You got the kid from Florida, Grimsley. You've got the kid from Syracuse, Singleton, and then Jet Jefferson, who, you know, you go back to the USM game a year ago, we were all expecting to hear him in the starting lineup, gets hurt, and it just never could get the season going for him. So that's definitely a position, you know, like you said, I think the secondary, there's plenty of experience, there's plenty of talent there, but there are a couple of question marks along the way. From a defensive line standpoint, my question is just going to be, can Will Whitson play a full season?
Yeah,
I think he's a real difference maker. I voted him third team all SEC, and I did it simply on the fact, I mean, I've seen six quarters of SEC football from this guy, but man, it was a great six quarters. So if I can get something like that from that guy, I feel like he can be a real, real difference maker for Mississippi State. You've got him, you've got Daylon Evans there, who coming in from Texas A&M, I think can be somebody who helps you in the middle. You still have, you know, you bring back Calvin Dinkins and Trevion Williams, who at this point in their career are just depth guys. Right, the thought that Trevion Williams is going to be the next great Mississippi State defensive lineman, I've gone past that. Calvin Dinkins is a guy, you know, he finally got a full season out of him last year. He's a good football player. And, you know, I won't go any further than that. But if those are your depth guys, that's your second team guys, you're okay. It's when we're relying on those guys to start last year, and then the guys behind them, you know, especially 2 years ago, that just were not capable SEC football players.
I was going to say, the last two seasons, I feel like that's been one of the biggest thing that's hindered the team is the defensive line depth, where, you know, the opening guys go down, and, you know, by the end of the season, you know, Ahmad Hardy's running 280 yards on you. Now, granted, a lot of that was on the outside as well, but you get the point. Like, the depth, that he talked about this as well, Jeff Lebby did, how, you know, winning football, everyone's going to have a good starting lineup. But it's when you're in, you know, week 7, 8, 9, and you've got guys going down, you've got guys going to be out multiple weeks. It's how your depth really kind of saves you. And I feel like now with the guys you mentioned, they're a little bit better at that position than they were in the few years past. I'm worried about this pass rush, though, honestly.
Well, that's where I was headed next. Yeah.
That's where they need the biggest growth. Arguably, outside of the offensive line, that's probably where they need good at.
What I would say is this. You know, the last time Zach Arnett was involved in Mississippi State's defense, Bookie Watson led the SEC in sacks from a middle linebacker position. So, I another guy I voted all SEC third team was Zachary Tillman, because I just think he's going to pile up tackles and he'd have these opportunities. Tyler Lockhart is a future star, I believe, so he's going to have plenty of opportunities. And then you have Amari Williams, who, according to all indications, was kind of Zach Arnett's pet project coming with him from Florida State, where he was an analyst last year. But, yes, he needs to be a guy. And, again, it doesn't have to be 12 sacks. It doesn't have to be a sack a game. State just needs a guy who can, on the stat sheet, give them between 5 and 8 sacks. We'll say that.
Yeah.
And then, but the other side of it is just somebody that the defense has to account for. Like, the last couple years with Mississippi State, when talking about a pass rush, there was nobody that offensive coordinators were circling and saying, hey, we got to make sure we neutralize this guy, you know, the way that you've had in the past with a Tyrus Wheat or a Montez Sweat, if you want to go back to that. They need Amari Williams to be that guy, just a guy that can draw a double team every now and then. I would love to go back and look and see how many times Mississippi State had anybody double teamed, last year.
Oh, geez.
It's not a high number.
No.
So they need, you know, that group. One thing I know that I believe in, you know, it's not a question for me coming into this, is that Zach Arnett and Mack Brock know how to coach linebackers. So I feel very confident that's going to be a good group. I asked Lebby about that at Media Days. He was very happy with that group, and he mentioned some of the backup guys. A.J. Rice's name was mentioned. He called him Fat Clark. I don't know if he's Fat Clark or Fat Forrest. I don't know at this point. Jalen Smith is another. That's a guy that, you know, if that's your third inside linebacker, that's a pretty good spot to be in for Mississippi State. So, yeah, linebacker is it's not so much about questions. It's just got to find a few more pieces here that you know that you can count on. I think we haven't mentioned the one that's maybe the biggest question mark in terms of I don't know what we're going to get from that position. And that's the tight end position.
Yeah.
You know, Sam West, not a lot of resume. Riley Williams, not a lot of resume. You got a true freshman there in Zayon Cotton, who I think everybody's really high on, and I think maybe can be a player for State down the road, but I don't know what you get from him early. This is an offense that when it has a good, viable piece, the tight end position, that adds to the repertoire so much. I don't know what State's going to get from that position this year.
That's a very big that's a good point there. Sam West, yeah. I mean, he talked about it in the spring. They're very young and inexperienced at the position, but yeah, they have a lot of guys that can do different things.
They've got young. I mean, they've got two redshirt juniors right there, but these guys haven't played.
Or, yeah, they're inexperienced might be the better word.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, West talked about how they've got guys that are, you know, better in the blocking game than the passing game. And then you've got, you know, Zayon Cotton that's going to be, you know, he was a wide receiver at one point, and they switched to tight end and got bigger. He can run some routes and do some good things in the passing game. I just don't know if he's going to be able to play much, like you said, in year one, just because the transition from high school to college is such a, you know, you need to transform your body and just kind of the game's just different. So they've got guys that can do things, but they're inexperienced. So, I mean, West is obviously the leading choice here to have the most impact, but, you know, we haven't seen a lot from him. We didn't see a lot from him at Indiana as well, so it'll be interesting. But Seydou Traore, forgive me if I'm wrong, but he was the second leading receiver on the team last year besides Thompson. Or no, Evans. Yeah,
Evans, Thompson, Traore was third.
Third. Just, yeah, you know, forgot the obvious one.
Yeah, that's a great spot, though.
Yeah.
You know, so, if tight end's your third guy, that's fine.
It's a big position that, you know, they got production from him the last few years. So we haven't talked a lot about that.
We haven't.
Brian, I think that is a big position of inexperience that they have guys in the room. It's just, you know, what are we going to get from them?
If you put it simply, you got to replace what Traore gave you last year. And what did Traore give you? 50 catches. Oh, sorry, that's not correct. I was looking at the wrong
one. He was really good in the red zone.
35 catches, 369 yards, and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a competent tight end there. The guy was drafted in the 5th round of the NFL, draft. So, you know, you're not replacing a bum here. This is a guy that in 2 years he gave you 69 catches.
Nice.
You know, and almost 800, just under 800 yards and 6 touchdowns. You got to replace that. Now, here, the thing is, you don't have to necessarily replace it from the tight end position. Somebody like –
it's got to go somewhere, though.
But, yeah, somebody has to find 30 catches.
And when you go into the wide receiver kind of pool, you know, Evans is the bona fide guy, but – mm-hmm. You know, combining tight ends and receivers, there's not a lot of – it's kind of the same story outside of Evans where it's very inexperienced. Mm-hmm. Guys are going to have to step up. So, you know, where that wide receiver 2 and those wide receiver 3 numbers go, you know, something very interesting to watch.
You know that I've said a few times that I just trust the evaluations with Jeff Lebby at the wide receiver position.
Oh, absolutely.
So I expect Marquise Johnson. I expect Zion Ragans. One of those guys is going to catch 40 or 50 passes this year. Anthony Evans, I expect to catch close to 80 passes this year. And so it becomes, does Aiden Williams or San Francisco McGee become a guy who catches 30 to 40 passes? And if that's the case, and then Sam West is your starting tight end, and maybe he only catches 20 passes, it doesn't matter. You figured it out. You know, it's just about finding those completions. Also, something else to consider here is, especially early on, I think State could be very run heavy.
Definitely.
I just think, you know, put the ball in Camario's hands, put it in Fluff Bothwell's hands. Now, that's on your offensive line. They got to be able to block. But I think State's going to be a very run-heavy team, especially early in the season.
And when all their offensive linemen are also healthy, they're trying to develop Carmario in the passing game. He's not going to let it rip 30 times against Minnesota. But when it's, you know, towards the end of the season, maybe he's a little bit more confident in that area. Not that he's not, but maybe he's a little more polished in that area. He's seen some SEC defenses. I don't think they'll let him rip it 30 times in the first half of the season.
No.
Unless they're down 100 in the first half.
Or something's just working, you know. So teams are going to – my guess is Minnesota is going to find a way to load up the box. And if they do that, you may have to, you know, just turn into that short passing game.
But then you've got to think about the chunk plays, though.
Yeah, they're going to be there.
Yeah.
Especially with the speed State has at the receiver position. I did think about something. You were talking about the offensive line. State plays the best pass rusher in the Big Ten week two, and Anthony Smith from
Louisville. Yeah.
Guys, defensive player of the year in the Big Ten. The next week, they play maybe the best pass rusher in the SEC, and Dylan Stewart from South Carolina. That's back-to-back weekends. You got to know exactly what you got at that left tackle position.
Really quick.
Real quick. And if that's Miles McVay, if that's, Jakeem Shumpert, if it's somebody, you know, I don't know who it's going to be. But whoever that guy is going to be, he's going to be tested real, real early. And, you know, State's got to find a way to be up to that challenge, because otherwise Kamario's going to be running for his life back there. The good news is if Kamario senses pressure and can get some running room, that's great. He'll take off. But you want some consistency. You want to be able to just run your offense. You don't want everything to be relying on broken plays. That's not a formula for success. Do we have any questions? Special teams feels like that's locked up.
Yeah.
Pulliam and Ferry. Really good. And somebody asked me the other day, like, who's going to return kicks for State? I was like, who cares? Like, nobody returns kicks anymore.
Let's talk about it, though. Who do you think?
Well,
just 30 seconds, no thoughts.
Camden Capehart. I think? I hate putting a freshman back there, but I want the speed.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, Brennan Thompson last year, he returned punts in the egg bowl and was really good. And I was like,
yeah,
but I understand why they couldn't do it.
Yeah, they knew.
I understand why they couldn't do it. But, like, who's fast?
I want
speed back there. And just got to trust them to catch the
ball.
Would
not be surprised, Cooper Crosby.
Crosby could be one guy.
He's quick.
He's got quickness. That's the thing, though. It's like, it just doesn't matter. Like, when people talk, the return game used to be like a real thing that you had.
It's all patched up now, man.
It's like,
especially in the NFL.
Almost all the kickoffs are going out of the back of the end zone. Nobody's returning punts. Everybody's got such a great hang time now. You know, it's just so rare. Like, the Texas game is such an outlier to have a punt return like that. Nobody returns punts.
That guy had returned what? That was three of that season.
I believe so, yeah. But that's also one where Pulliam just makes a mistake. Yeah. If he just hangs the ball up or he skies it out of bounds, State probably might have won the game.
Yeah.
He just decided to absolutely blast one off, and he outkicks his coverage, and there you go. So special teams, though, I feel really, really good about that. We'll talk to Cliff Odom tomorrow. So let's just go through this. In case you want to keep up on Twitter, I'm sure Mississippi State will have all the video available.
It'll all be in YouTube.
Yeah. Plus, I imagine it'll be available on WCBI Sports at some point.
Oh, yeah. Quick plug there. Yeah we'll have plenty of coverage there as well.
That's right. It's not on the – we didn't get an email. We got a
– I think it's a group meet.
It's in the group meet. Yeah, let me pull that up. All right, so –
talking about everyone's talking?
Huh?
Are you going through everyone's talking tomorrow?
Yeah, real quick. Yeah. So we start off with Arnett. He's at 11 a.m., and then we go in 10-minute intervals. Matt Brock, Ty Warren, Corey Bell, Vincent Dancy. So you get all the defensive guys there. Then Cliff Odom about 10 till noon. And then at noon, it's the offensive guys. Kevin Johns, Anthony Tucker, Phil Lodeholt, John Cooper. And then we'll finish up at 12:40 with Philip Montgomery. So basically we'll be in there for about 2 hours talking to assistant coaches. This is our one and only time to get those guys this year. So whatever questions we got to go ahead and fire them off.
I think the Arnett one will be the most interesting.
Arnett will be the one that might go over 10 minutes because we're going to have questions.
Is he long-winded Logan Lowry?
I'm interested to see, because when he was the head coach, he was pretty curt because he was so uncomfortable being the head coach. But he was a defensive coordinator. He had no problem talking, and he had no problem calling you out if your question was dumb. Ask me how I know. So we'll be one of my favorite ones. I think it was David Murray asked him.
Name drops, crazy.
Well, I mean, it's just a funny moment. I remember it, that he asked him, like, what did you like about what you saw out there today? And Arnett was being like, I didn't like anything. We got a long way to go about being a good defense. And so David try to get like a little bit more positive spin on things. He's like, well, what were some things that were good? He's like, we're good. Nothing. It's like nothing was good. He just killed. So I thought that I've always remembered that. I mean, Arnett, one time I asked him, what was this? Like, what's one area coming into the spring where you feel like you really need to make an improvement? He's like, I think that's a terrible question. It's like, we need to improve in all areas. We got to get better as a defense.
I understand your question.
He understood my question. He just wanted to have some fun with me. So Arnett is the kind of guy that I think he'll, now that he's back being a defensive coordinator, kind of in, he's comfortable in his own shoes there. I think that's, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. And Brock's good too. Brock's real good. He's a smart guy. He knows how to talk. And then we'll go. So that starts today. Today, as you're listening on Monday, at 11 a.m. was our Mississippi State media day. So I'm going to ask Mississippi State if they will allow me to do a one-on-one with Arnett the way they did with Coleman Hutzler last year for the SC, for our Not Fall Camp Tour next Tuesday. Don't know if that'll happen or not. Don't know if it'll be granted to me. But it was last year, so I'm going to be like, well, you're there last year. So we'll see how that works out. But we're setting everything up for the Not Fall Camp Tour. We will be live at the landing on Tuesday, September the 8th, me and Borky there from 3 to 6, talking Mississippi State sports. We're going to have plenty of live guests, plenty of stuff to give away as well, so come and check that out. All right, let's move into this last little bit of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I haven't been to Two Brothers. I don't think I've been since we went. Didn't we go? No, I went with my daughter. I mentioned it to you. I was like, I'm going there today. Yes, I haven't been in a few weeks, though, so I need to.
Yeah, clock's ticking. I'm due as well.
Clock is ticking, so I need to go there. I need to go to the older brother as well. You know, here's the thing: we're both in town this week. Maybe we can go grab some lunch one day.
Yeah,
would you like that? I would like.
I'd go to Two Bros on Tuesday or Wednesday.
I can't do Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh,
so
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, Tuesday I'll be in Hattiesburg. First stop on the Not Fall Camp Tour there down at down in Golden Eagle Country. So if you're in the Hattiesburg area, we're going to be at Sully's in Hattiesburg. So come check that out.
Noah Sullivan?
No, I don't think he has a place in Hattiesburg. That I know of. I mean, he might. You know, it's a barber shop. It's a men's stylist. You know, something like that. Anyway, back to the smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers, and of course the fancy sandwiches at the Older Brother. Two fantastic places to eat. They're right next door to each other. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need service, same number, same people. You know them. They know you. They make it really easy for you. How do they do that? Because they're in Mississippi just like you. They can fix your problems a lot of times the exact same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go if you're looking for Mississippi State gear. I learned a certain Mississippi State higher-up must be listening to this podcast because he went in there and asked for his Thunder 15 discount on this one. So that was very good news to hear. Appreciate you for listening, and you know who you are. And if you're listening and you want to get some great Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the place to get it. Get it in the store or online at maroonandco.com. They'll ship it right to you, and they will accept our promo code THUNDER15, 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to your next game in Starkville, which is coming up real soon.
Yeah, just over a month.
Yeah.
So I can't wait.
I believe, what are we, like 30, like 29 days or something like that? Something like that? I think that's
So we got
28 days left in this month. Or sorry, 29 days left in this month as we're sitting here. And then another 1, 2, 3, 4. So 33 days. The start of the college football season.
Let's go. I can't wait, man. It's going to be awesome.
It's good times. It's good times. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Guys, if you're a push mower person, all right, nothing wrong with a push mower. Don't get me wrong. But this weekend rain we keep having, it's like it rains a little bit on Friday, then it rains a little bit on Saturday. It's raining on Saturday night, and you got there Sunday, you're like, I want to mow the grass. But you know what? Mowing the wet grass with a push mower, I mean, it's like – he might as well just go out there with a pair of scissors. It's going to take less time. You need a John Deere Zero Turn. Makes it easy. It's great for even the small homeowners, and they've got them at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. But, of course, you got the big one. You got the huge Tractor Land. They got that as well, the compact tractors. Great deals, great financing available at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, where they have what you want for less. Landowners in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber. That's the name to know and the name to trust. If you are a landowner in this state and you need advice, expertise on how to manage your land, how to manage your timber, that's where Good Hope Land and Timber can come in with a quick phone call, assess your situation, and put you on the right path. And if you're trying to buy or sell land right now, they can absolutely help you make that purchase as well. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. 601-442-9888, or you can call, visit them online at g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. So I've never been happier to not have to do Sports Talk Mississippi with all this NCAA stuff that's going on. Borky's probably like a pig in crap right now. He's so happy. Like, oh, this is what we get to talk about today. Not me. So I'm glad I'm missing out on that. But we do need to address it a little bit because there's been a lot of talk on message boards about, is Mississippi State going to be able to add some of its former players? The name that popped up immediately was Jerron Manning, who tried to get another year from the NCAA, was turned down. Now you have this injunction, I believe is mm-hmm. the legal term, from a judge in Colorado saying that every member of the class of 22 is got another year of eligibility.
Yes.
What I'm reading here, and if I'm wrong, and you know, there's a better than 0% chance that I'm wrong. But if I'm reading it correctly, it says that it grants the eligibility. However, it does not change roster caps, does not change NIL caps, it does not change anything like that. So if for a team like Mississippi State, which I believe is at the 85 limit, Manning has another year of eligibility, but State doesn't have anywhere to put him, if I'm reading this correctly. So I think this could end up being like a bit of a nothing burger, but I could also be wrong on that. I'm willing to, you know, declare ignorance on the situation. Might have to try to bring Ross Dellinger on this podcast. I hate to do it. Not that I don't love Ross, but I hate the stuff he talks about. So I don't. But I'm not the expert on this. Am I wrong? Are you reading this any differently?
Well, if they're not changing any of the rules around roster construction, then the football players are kind of screwed.
Like, right.
I mean, camp for most teams is starting this week, mm-hmm. and you know, portal and additions to the team, that was months ago. That starts in December when your season ends. Most teams probably have it filled out or close to filled out. I feel like by spring, maybe you're adding mm-hmm. less than five guys before yeah. fall camp. I mean, if this ruling was in March or even February, it would have helped a lot.
Would have been different.
For football players, it basically means nothing. I mean,
so,
it's nice, but at the same time, it's like, what team doesn't have it entirely filled out right now?
Right. So first thing first, State can't add any players that it didn't already have. And what I mean by that is, if you weren't in the transfer portal, you can't transfer to Mississippi State.
So is Manning in the portal right now?
No, he's not. No, but that's what I'm saying. They already had Manning.
Okay.
So if Manny were to be granted an extra year and State was allowed to have the roster space, they could re-add him.
But they don't.
Just to give you an example, who's somebody from Ole Miss that didn't get drafted? Do you know off the top of your head?
I have baseball. Oh, well, Xavier Harris.
Okay, Xavier Harris. Now, he's with the Saints, though. He signed up. He's with their okay. camp. But let's just use him as an example. Okay. Yeah. Xavier Harris didn't get drafted. So, I mean, at Mississippi State, they could use a proven SEC defensive tackle big time, right? But because he didn't enter the transfer portal, he can only go back to Ole Miss if he decides to go back.
Okay.
But, so I'm reading here, this is reporting from Pete Nakos from On3 Sports, not Pete Nokos from No3 Sports. I'll point that out.
Great account, though.
One key question is whether players will be able to leave their former programs if there is no roster space. The NCAA's ghost transfer rules, which include penalties for adding players outside the transfer portal window, stand in place. The NCAA responded to Friday's rulings with a letter to – hold on, let me see this. This injunction is not intended and does not enjoin any provisions of the House settlement. The court is not enjoining operation of the transfer rules. Can we just play football? The court also clarifies that it is not enjoining the age-based portion of the eligibility rule, meaning the athletes who are 20 or older at the start of their 5 years are not eligible per the injunction. So if I'm reading this correctly – unless the NCAA, which is, by the way, the NCAA is appealing this injunction. They don't want this.
Of course.
Because they know it's a massive logistical headache. But unless the NCAA loses and decides, okay, well, you can bring these guys back. And this is something that would have to happen in the next week or so, I would think. You can't get into the season and be like, okay, now we're going to add another player. This isn't the NFL.
Free agency.
But unless the NCAA is going to change its rule to allow, it's basically give you a voucher, you know, an exemption, saying, okay, if you have one of these players come back to your roster, somebody you thought was out of eligibility, they've been granted an extra year of eligibility, they will not count against your 85 for this one season. Then that's the only way I could see these players coming back in to Mississippi State.
It's a logistical nightmare. I mean, the football players, baseball players are going to have a
little different,
much
there.
Easier.
Well,
they're gonna
have a much easier time because there's not gonna be any draft next year, so they're gonna be able to
shut down the league next year. It's
got to happen.
It's hard, man.
I don't know. We're off course here, but who cares? I don't know that we're ever gonna see a labor dispute in this country. I don't know. I'm talking about just in sports. I'm talking about ever where the vast majority of people are on the side of management. Normally we're all like, hey, you know, take care of the worker. That's the working man, blah, blah, blah.
No.
Not this time. It's like, these players have got to be stopped. We have got it's not even these players. The Dodgers. The Dodgers have got – I've been trying to tell y'all for decades that the Dodgers are scum and that they should be –
I'm so better when I saw that. You just knew that they were going to find a way.
They gave up nothing. Because why? Because Scooball said – oh, I'm gonna go to the Dodgers at the end. I'm not signing a new deal with anybody. I'll be a free agent at the end of the year. I'll go to the Dodgers then if you trade me. So it became a question of, do I want to trade up like my top prospects so that I can get 3 months of this guy? No, nobody wants to do that. So it's got to stop.
Yeah,
and so
it's got to stop.
But that being said, getting back to this other thing, I guess what I'm saying is, and maybe it's very possible we could get some clarity tomorrow. When we're talking to the coaches. But I believe that there's not going to be any additions as a result of this. I believe.
Well, I mean, State's not the only program that...
We're looking inside the maroon and white bubble right now.
Yeah,
there.
I feel like something from the NCAA, if as much as they don't want this to happen and how much a pain in the butt they're going to make it, I mean, these guys, if they're eligible, they can't just sit around. I mean, they can. The NCAA doesn't really care, clearly, but... They're stuck because these teams are capped out. It's a week before the season. Ugh. Would Manning be the only guy that's considering for the football team, I guess, to come back? Like, who else falls in that?
So another name was Malik Sylla, who I think would be a great addition if you could get him.
Okay.
I think, and the other name that was popped up was Brandon Snay, the tackle who transferred. He was in the transfer portal. Transferred to Mississippi State.
Oh, the UAB guy.
He was the guy who had no more eligibility left. He signed with the Canadian football team, I thought.
Yeah, so he's over.
I don't know. I don't know nowadays. I don't know the answer. So
I'd be interested to see if any of the guys who signed non-draft contracts in the NFL, if they came back. Or maybe not even contracts. They're like tryouts or whatever. There's a guy from my IU that's actually doing that. He was in the Raiders camp, got released, but he's going back to school now. Brady, but I don't. Besides Manning, he'd be the only really. I feel like the other guys would be nice to have too. But
yeah,
if you're gonna make room for one, I feel like it would be Manning.
All right, one last thing before we go. South Point, what is this? South Point Hotel, Casino and Spa in Las Vegas has released their college football games of the year lines, some early lines.
Oh, geez.
All right, so we got a bunch of lines here. I want you to. There's only one. Am I correct? Let me double check here. There's only one Mississippi State game on the list. It's the Egg Bowl. I want you to guess the line.
Oh man.
Now, granted, this is August 2nd.
Yeah, and this is in
long way to go between
in Oxford.
In Oxford, what do you guess the line is?
16 and a half.
You could do this for a living, my friend. It's 15 and a half.
Wow! Look at that.
Obviously, you know that's not going to be. We'll see what it is when we get there. But, yeah, 15 and a half is the line.
What do they have?
Give me some games, and I'll tell you what they're.
Ole Miss LSU.
Ole Miss minus -2.
That feels about right.
I would try to get another half point there if I was.
Texas and Ohio State round 2.
That's week 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pick them.
It's even.
Got them even.
What about Michigan, Oklahoma?
Make sure I'm reading this right. It's a little, it's like folded up in a way. It's Michigan is a 2-point favorite.
Wow. Okay. Well, I guess it is the big house.
Yeah. I'll just go through some of the other ones that stand out here. LSU is a 2.5 point favorite over Texas A&M in week four. Georgia, a 4 point favorite over Alabama. Texas, a 6.5 point favorite over Oklahoma.
Wow, okay.
Alabama, Tennessee, a pick'em is really fascinating to me. Ohio State, 1 point favorite over Indiana.
Oh my goodness. No.
Cignetti was on fire at Big Ten Media Days, by the way.
Oh.
The quotes coming out of him are just
He's a
incredible.
quote machine.
Did you see the thing about Lollapalooza?
Oh no, I saw the video, but I didn't watch it.
So
What?
basically, they were like, we're gonna play. Would you like to play a game with us where you have to recognize these bands from Lollapalooza?" And Cignetti just went, "No." That
They
was
didn't.
it. He said no. Couple more here. Wow, Texas is a 9 point favorite over Ole Miss. Yeah,
Nine?
nine is a lot. That's a big line.
No.
Yeah, Georgia is a 5 point favorite over Ole Miss.
No.
Oklahoma is a 4.5 point favorite over Ole Miss. These lines are
They are
weird.
not confident in the Rebels,
Yeah,
man.
well, Ole Miss's over under is 7.5, right?
I don't
That's
know.
their over under wins, I believe, is 7.5.
They've crushed that the last
Well,
couple
yeah, but that's
years.
with Kiffin. There's a difference.
I mean,
LSU Tennessee is a pick'em. I have trouble. I would
these lines,
easily.
I don't know.
I'm just telling you what we got here. Just
After
telling
the
you what we
Ohio
got.
State Indiana line, man, I'm
And then
good.
for the rivalries, Texas is a 3 point favorite over Texas A&M. Alabama 10.5 over Auburn.
Yeah.
Ohio State. I want you to guess Michigan, Ohio State.
This one's in Columbus.
Hold on. Yes.
Oh, geez. This one's going to be a lot. I'm going to go 18 and a
That's
half.
not that high. It's 15.
Oh, okay. Still.
That's
For the game,
two
yeah.
touchdowns. That's a big line for the big game. Yeah. All right. A little fun. Somebody, they were getting on me on the message board about saying that my predicted lines for the LSU and Alabama games were too high. Like, because I said it was going to be like 17 points or whatever. If this sports book is saying that the Egg Bowl is 15.5, seeing what they're saying for the other Ole Miss games as well, by the way, they've got underdogs
Yeah,
to.
they don't think highly of them.
I might be closer than those guys thought. We shall see. All right, we'll do a pod tomorrow. We'll recap Media Day here on campus. We might have some of the audio as well. We'll probably at least have Arnett's. Are you filming?
Yeah, I'll be
All right, if
there.
I can get a clip, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah, I'll
We'll
bring
figure
it.
it out. All right, talk to you guys tomorrow for Call the Bro. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning. You're also talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.